Okay. Well, this is a great, the sad news is this is the last PLC of this cycle. We've done 21 cycles of 10 each. This is a 222nd call. And we do these in tranches of 10 at a time. And then we have a break and then we start over again. And we do different topics. The idea is to talk to our mentor grantees that have been around for a while and know what they're doing and have answers to many common mistakes that professional learning community calls people have. So it's an opportunity to share ideas. And as I said, this is the last call of this cycle. We'll be starting up again after the holiday break. So sometime in January, we'll be starting again. We'll be sending out some reminders of not to come in on the call. And anything we hear from Washington, any news we hear, we'll send you out some reminders. We'll send out some newsletter towards the end of December to just to keep you up on speed. This cycle, we've talked about a lot of different things in addition to talking about exemplary programs, but also we started talking towards the end, the last several, on longevity, sustainability, and the main theme is keep with the program. And right now, what we're doing is for those of you who got re-upped or were fortunate to get re-upped, there's always such a limited amount of funds. During the next year, we'll be ramping up, and hopefully the old mentors, that the mentors can help the new people and people who have got programs that they've got to work through, give them advice on the best way to maneuver through these grants. Some of the grantees were not funded, and the message that we give to everybody is stay with the program and try to keep it intact the best you can. Our latest, and I talked about this last week, our latest hints from EPA, and nothing is certain until after appropriations are made and program plans are made, but there's some real green sprouts and possibility, a strong possibility of having an RFP come out again. This one would probably be a, this was a 2020 this last October, and the way they did that is they sent out the RFPs out in the summer, and then they granted the awards in October 24th. If they decide to do that again, there's a likelihood that there might be a request for RFPs in the summer, and then an FY 21 award in October after the new fiscal year in 21. We're not sure how that's going to go, but we're thinking positive and going to be working in that direction. I think there's so many good programs. For those of you who did not get funding, it really has nothing to do with your program. They have so many slots, the great amount of curve, and answers to questions. And I've seen so many excellent programs that should be funded that unfortunately they're not. But often they're funded the next year. And I've noticed that there seems to be an interest in EPA to keep these programs going. And so those of you who are 2018, you've got another year. 2017, if you could hang in there for till the next award, keep your programs going. And that's what we talked about in the last couple of PLCs, and we'll probably talk about that next year when we start up the new cycle. Keep the program going, go underground, find some additional supplemental funds. We've had some grantees who were not funded, but that's fine. They've been able to kind of go underground or get supplemental funding on a different project, keep it going, and just to come back. And I like to mention Buddy. I don't think Buddy's on the call, but he was out in 2009 and kind of kept on going, and he just got a 2020 award. So we really encourage people, because they may skip a year or may not get funded for some quirk, for whatever it was in terms of the way they evaluated their proposal, just hang in there and then go again with an expanded proposal. And of course, we always suggest that they get their reader notes, go to their regional coordinator and ask for a review of their grant, find out what their weak spots were so that they could work on those during the next year. And of course, I also want to say, once you're involved in a PLC, or you know, if you're interested in starting a program or you've had a program in the past, you're kind of in the club, and we encourage you to attend all the events, whether it's the PLC, whether it's the annual all-grantee meeting, whether it's a, hopefully we'll have a summer meeting. All things are kind of still being planned for next year, but if there's a, the all-grantee in the summer meeting, anything that we're doing, you're as welcome, and we hope to use you as mentors and participate in all of activities. So during this particular session, I just want to get those points across to hang in there with your programs, and we'll see as we go along, we might find some funding opportunities, whether it's local or national, that you might be able to work with, whether it's scaling down the program, shifting the emphasis, going to a fee for service, doing refreshers for a fee, just to keep involved in this environmental training that can be resurrected at another time for the next proposal. Well, we always start out, we're going to have a great guest, and it's very fitting today, LA Conservation Corps, who is right in the forefront on for a whole lot of reasons. But first, we always get news from Washington, and Heather's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on the all-grantee meeting in Brownfields 2019, and then we're going to go to LA, which has got such an outstanding program. Denise is going to tell us about that program. So, Heather, do you want to give us an update on what you've been hearing?
Absolutely. So as far as the HQ is concerned, you know, there's no real updates. Most of the talk that we hear from them right now just has to refer to the National Brownfields Conference. And for those of you who are going, you would know that that is December 11th through the 13th in Los Angeles, California. We're very excited about that and really looking forward to that opportunity. There's also, you know, an event that's occurring on December 10th, for those of you all that have heard us talk about it quite a bit, and that is the all-grantee meeting, the sort of new kind of weird oddball one that we're trying this year. So we're actually being a affiliate event for the National Brownfields Conference, and so our all-grantee meeting will occur on Tuesday, December 10th at the Los Angeles Convention Center, and then we're going to go off-site for the second half of the day as well. But it should be a really fantastic time. So talk to you guys a little bit more, those of you that are coming, just to kind of keep you in the loop on where we're at with things. I did send out a draft of the agenda out to all of the folks that I have registered for the conference. And you guys could see some of the different things we have going on that day. The biggest thing is that we are going to, at 8 o'clock in the morning, right, we're going to start opening it up. We'll have breakfast. We can check in, just have time for networking. But the really important thing is you have to have gone ahead and picked up your National Brownfields Conference registration packet before you come to the all-grantee meeting. So I really encourage you guys, plan to do that on the 9th when you come in. They usually stay open for an extended period of time in that evening. Just plan to dart into that conference center. It's about, what do we say, about 7 blocks, I think, away from the Sheraton Grand, the hotel where we're all staying. And, you know, just go on in, get your badge, get that done with, so when we start in the morning at the all-grantee meeting, you can just dive right in. Otherwise, they do open at 8 o'clock to pick up badges on that Tuesday as well. So you can get it first thing in the morning, but we really are encouraging people to try to pick up their registration for the National Brownfields Conference on December the 9th. But we'll start at 8 o'clock. We're going to feed you breakfast, and then we'll kind of see who's all there, say hi to everybody, get to know the room. We're going to have a nice welcome and some updates from EPA headquarters. We'll have David Lloyd. He's the director of the Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalizations. He will be there to talk a little bit, and so will our Rachel Congdon. She'll also be there to help, you know, get things going for us. So we're really excited to hear from EPA headquarters. And then we'll just have kind of a session where we sort of talk about, we're kind of telling it right now as EWGJT issues of concerns and questions, but, you know, what are those things, those conversation topics? We've had some great ones on the PLC that are, you know, either hurdles that you have or a question that you have that you think might be relevant to multiple grantees. The example I'm going to give is when we talked about driver's license. You know, we did that on the PLC. TLC call, and we had people from all across the country saying, yeah, I have problems with that too. Here's some solutions that I found. You know, we're actually building in a little bit of time to share those types of things with a group as sort of with all of the attendees that are there. So, write some things down, write some of the ideas down and bring them with you. We'll then fall into two different sets of concurrent sessions. We've got some really nice topics on those, program administration and management, as well as program outreach. The program administration and management one, for those of you who have been to the All Grantee meeting in the past, we do have Jim Drummond coming in. He's the legal folk, if you will, that can answer some of those more specific questions. So really great resource. He'll be in the program administration and management section along with a couple other people. And then, like I said, we've got a program outreach section. And then the next set of concurrent sessions, we've got leveraging resources and program sustainability and training, retention, and placement as well. At that point, it'll be noontime. And what we're going to do then is we're all going to get on a bus and we are going to travel together to this secondary location. And that's where we're going to meet up with the NIEHS folk. And at that point, we will start something that's kind of exciting. We're all really excited about. And this is sort of joint sessions that are relevant to their grantees and to us. And it's because it's all ties around with health and worker safety. So we've got some really great things in there. We're going to have a working lunch where you'll get to kind of meet some of the other grantees and maybe learn a little bit more about NIEHS. And then we've got a series of concurrent sessions as well that'll run through there. We do have some grantees that will be presenting for some of those joint sessions with the NIEHS, as well as John Morgan. Those of you that have been to all grantee meetings in the past know John's a fantastic health and health and safety trainer, there we go, that we have here at HMTRI. So he'll be doing two different sessions in the afternoon, joint with the NIEHS folks. So that should be a really fantastic time to have some refreshers on some of those things. At that point, we're going to wrap up and then we're going to bust you all back towards the conference. And that's where we kind of dive into the National Brownfield Conference events. We do really encourage you guys to attend these Wednesday night events for the National Brownfield Conference, though. One of the things is the regional open houses. So this is a really good opportunity to network. So you will have already met with some of the other grantees that are in your region earlier in the day during the All Grantee meeting. But this is for anybody that's coming to the National Brownfield Conference. So there's an opportunity to meet maybe grantees from other types of programs, employers, all sorts of anybody that's interested. You know, it's a set time to go and just mingle within your EPA region. And then in the evening, we're going to end with the Environmental Justice Caucus. So for those of you that may not be aware, you know, our EWGJT program does fall under the environmental justice umbrella. So we really encourage you guys to go to the caucus and have some great time. That'll be from 6 to 8 p.m. That evening. And they've got three different environmental justice leaders from a variety of areas. And they're really just going to have a great discussion on environmental justice. So we really encourage you guys to kind of go to all that stuff. It'll be a long day, but it'll be a lot of fun. After that, it is now time to start the National Brownfield Conference and all of their programming. So a couple of points that we want to talk to you guys about. I know I reached out to some of you guys for being potential speakers, potential presenters or facilitators is what we're calling them, for the All Grantee meeting. If you haven't gotten back with me yet, could you please? If not, I'm going to start calling you. So you'll hear from me soon one way or the other. And thank you to those of you who have replied. We do really appreciate that. And the other thing that I wanted to share with you guys, though, has to go with the National Brownfield Conference. Mike has mentioned a couple of different times that we are having a booth this year, but we decided we're not going to have it as an HMTRI booth like we have in the past. What we wanted to do was really make it an EWGJT booth. So our thought behind it is it's an opportunity for you guys to showcase your program to anybody that might be wandering the display floor of the National Brownfield Conference. So ideally, potential employers. Right, that's who we're really hoping to market this towards. So we've got a fantastic booth location. We're right in what they call the EPA neighborhood. That means that's right where all of the regional tables will be, all of the official EPA folk will be. We have a booth that's right in that same area. And what we would like you to do is to please provide 20 copies, 30 copies, whatever it is, of some type of promotional material that you have. I mean, and again, thinking more towards, you know, what might be interesting to potential employers or maybe potential partners, things like that. So we would really encourage you guys, we would love you guys to bring some stuff with you that we could spread out on the table. This is a really unique opportunity. It'll give you an opportunity to get that information out there and be presented in sort of a national forum like that, I think would be a really exciting. We're not planning on bringing very much in our end, so please bring some stuff. Otherwise, we're going to have a really empty table. But we're really looking forward to that opportunity. If you guys have any questions, or if you're not coming to the All Grantee meeting, but you still want to send materials, go ahead and send me an email. I'd be happy to talk to you about it and see if we can arrange somehow to get the materials to me, and then I can get them out there. You know, whatever we want to do, we'd like to make sure that we can get that information out there to the public. So you can email me at hkballou@eicc.edu. Again, that's hkballou@eicc.edu.
Heather, could you give us your address so that if we're not going to the conference, we could send you materials? And that applies to everyone who's got a program, who has had a program mm-hmm. that would be interested in having employers contact them. So if they're not able to bring materials, mm-hmm. where could they send them to you if they decide to do that? Could you give us
Absolutely.
Your address?
So for those of you that might have had any addresses for us in the past, we just recently moved. So our new address is 101 West 3rd Street in Davenport, Iowa, 52801. Again, that's 101 West 3rd Street in Davenport, Iowa, 52801. And just put on there something about attention Heather Ballou. Would probably be the easiest way to make sure it gets to me. If you send it to the old email address, they'll still get it to us, but this is our new location. So you can do that. If not, otherwise email me and we'll make sure that we get you the correct information as well.
I'll put that in the notes so that people
Thank
can
you,
have
honey.
It. And as I said, anyone who's got some materials that we could put out for the conference or even for the All Grantee meeting, we're interested in that because our objective at this Brownfields is when people come by, particularly employers, and they see our signage, which is going to ask people if they're interested in people who are certified HAZWOP or who have certifications in several areas, screened and certified, and they come in and they say, well, we're interested in some of your, perhaps someone, would you have a program in our area? We would like to point them to that area. And actually, if we have a information sheet, that would even be better that we could give them. So our objective is basically to drive people who come by the booth to your program. So anything you can give us would be a big help. Anything else, Heather? I think we'll be sending you information in the next week and a half mm-hmm. because as we get down to it, reminders about things and what to bring and participating in the meeting. So you'll have that information.
Absolutely. I would suggest if we have any brand new grantees on the phone, I know you guys won't have anything up and running. You won't have any like materials available then. Just bring some business cards, right? And we can still have those out and say, this is a brand new developing program. We encourage you to get a hold of them right away. Here's the correct person to contact. That's a great option, too, if you don't have any promotional material readily available. At least send us a couple of business cards would even make the difference of us being able to get somebody in contact with you.
Actually, for everyone, if you just send Heather some business cards, that would be great. We'll put them out on the table. Well, today, which is really fitting, being our last in this cycle, one of our most outstanding programs, we kind of save the best for last. The LA Conservation Corps has been around for a long time. They have been with the Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training Program for a long time. Originally, I believe City of Los Angeles had a grant, but way back in 2000, they had two grants back then. And in 2005, they turned it over to the LA Conservation Corps. And this is such an outstanding program. They've had 9 awards, including a supplemental. There was 1 year in 2009 where there was some AREA money that they received $500,000 supplement to train in their area. They do not have an easy job. They probably have the highest population of ex-offenders. Right now we've been hearing about the fires. They're dealing with everyone who can't get a job, underserved, underemployed, and they're doing a great job. And I think with that, in addition to that, we've talked about sustainability. They're not only working with the Brownfields EPA program, but they've been working with NIHS, they've been working with Youth Build, and they're a perfect example of what you can do when you can get to a critical mass and you develop one program and then you add another program. They're not duplicate. They're synergistic in ways. They all cover different areas, but they add to this critical mass. It gets bigger and bigger. So they've been able to build this program that involves NIHS, Youth Build, EPA Brownfields, and they're able to do a tremendous job on all of these programs. And Denise has been one of our mentors over the years. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Denise, and would particularly be interested in how are things out there in terms of the fires? Are you getting by okay?
Yes, we are. Well, first I'd like to say hello, everyone. And I'd like to say thank you for asking us to present today. Right now we're getting rain, so that should help. The fires seem to be, they're no longer happening, but once we dry up again, we just never know. But to tell you a little bit about the LA Conservation Corps, we are a environmentally focused youth development agency. We serve youth between the ages of 18 and 24. And we offer them education, job, and support services. We currently have a pathway program that we offer our youth, which is our construction and environmental, and that covers our youth build program, our urban parks, and our environmental workforce development and job training program. We have energy as a pathway for us. We do energy auditing and solar paneling installation. We have a zero waste pathway. That's our recycling across Los Angeles. And we do community enhancement. That's basically like doing cleaning up the streets of Los Angeles, city of Los Angeles. And we have our land management, and we do urban forestry. And we have a river core where we work alongside the LA River, keeping it safe and clean. So that's just a little bit about some of the work and some of the projects that the LA Conservation Corps offers their youth. Our job training program, it's a 7-week long training program we offer. It's Monday through Friday. Our training consists of the HAZMOPR. We do OSHA 10, first aid CPR, the asbestos worker training, the lead abatement training, mold remediation, confined space, and then we have life skills. We do, I'd say, about 80 hours of life skills. So they start off doing 40 hours, 1 week of life skills where we offer resume writing, financial literacy, conflict resolution, helping them mock interviews, helping them so once they finish going through the training, they'll have an opportunity to actually get placed in employment. Our training providers, who we normally work with, is a union. They are Joint Apprentice Trust. They are the Heat and Frost Asbestos Union. We've been working with them for about 15 years now. The great opportunity of working with them is that they look at our participants as pre-apprentice, and they have an opportunity once the training is completed to join that union if they choose to. We also do a lot. Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. We also provide we have a job developer. So sometimes after they go through our training, they might decide that this is, not something that they want to get into anymore. What we try to do is try to find jobs who actually take a HAZMOPR, which a lot of hospitals, they need that certification, or if they're doing cleanups. So we try to place them with jobs that those certifications is valuable to that job. We also, since we have a lot of construction going on here right now, so there's been a lot of needing to do demolition work and cleanup work before they actually start building. So we've kind of working with those contractors to kind of place our participants in that kind of work. it's just so much. I'm just trying to think of everything that
we're doing. Great. Keep going.
What I'm thinking, well, we'll ask you a whole bunch of questions, but it's very interesting how you're combining the local problems like demolition and deconstruction with your curriculum. So you've really locked in your asbestos lead with your jobs that are available in deconstruction.
Right. So right now we're currently, because here, especially in the Boyle Heights area, with the XI problem that they have here with the lead, and a lot of homes have been exposed, and so now there needs to be cleanup. And so currently the Los Angeles County will be distributing those grants for, for work, which is good for us because we do offer the lead worker. And so we're looking at trying to partner up with different lead. Hello?
Heaven forbid someone put us on hold. We keep open mic, so don't put us on hold. And also, I should have reminded everyone, these headsets are very sensitive. So if you're on a open mic, we're all on open mic, so I try to keep your room quiet. Okay. I'm sorry, Denise.
That's okay. So as I was mentioning, so we are currently trying to partner up with other, lead companies, businesses that offer this work. So once our participants complete the lead, that's another opportunity for them to actually work in their communities, because some of them come from the Boyle Heights area. Some of them come from the South LA area of Los Angeles. So it's all about just trying to build partnerships. We're the largest urban conservation corps, so we have multiple sites throughout the Los Angeles area. We have a site in Compton. We have two sites in the Valley. We have one site in South LA. We have one site in our East LA, Boyle Heights area. We have a site in Chinatown, and we have a site in Las Vegas areas, which is our tree planting program that we have called City Plants. So we're kind of spread it throughout the city of Los Angeles.
It sounds like you get a lot of support from the county and from the city, don't you?
Yes.
In terms of supporting your program.
Yes, because of the work that we do. Like I said, we get a lot of construction projects since construction is booming here right now. We do a lot of zero waste, that's one of our pathways. We actually have a recycling center where we actually, clean our recyclables before we actually send them out. So we have a recycling center. We do commute a lot of so LA is so big, so there's all these different little cities within Los Angeles City. So we have contracts where we make sure we keep those streets clean, so our youth get the opportunity to, keep their community, because a lot of them come from those areas. So it's an opportunity to keep the community clean, keep their own community clean. We do a lot of urban forestry, trying to clean up some of the brush and, making sure so we can prevent those fires that's happening. And then the River Corps, that's something that we, LA City is focusing on, and I know there's some new developments that's going to be happening with that. But we've been actually trying to keep a certain part of that river clean. We actually do, usually around September, we do like a kayaking the LA River program we have offered. So we do a lot of things in the community of LA and the county. So if you guys have questions, please feel free to ask me.
Go ahead.
This is Ronique from West End Neighborhood House in Wilmington, Delaware. It sounds like you offer a lot of certifications, like some of the RMI program. How many certifications and how often do you run your cohorts? Do you have two or you have three?
So I run four cohorts. I usually do a class between 15 to 25 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7, I would say about 7 certifications that we offer.
Are they on your website?
You could go on our website. It'll just be like a little snippet of what our environmental job training. Mm-hmm. They might mention some, but I can definitely send you information.
Okay, yeah.
I could definitely send you information on all the trainings that we offer.
Okay.
And I didn't mention
we'll
do have
website.
A – I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We'll put your email in there if it's okay with you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Please do.
Another question. I was very interested in – so do you have, like, an exit interview with your students in regards of, like, you mentioned about, you know, everyone has issues with placement. So after they receive the certifications and they went through the course, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I don't want to do this. So you said you look, you pretty much with, I guess, with your career specialist, whoever your team.
Our Career Pathways program. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You find other
avenues for them. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, because we have a job we have a core member development team here at the LA Conservation Corps, and so they kind of also support our environmental job training program.
Okay.
So, like I said, when a
okay.
youth or a person is not interested in, you know, the certifications, oh, I don't want to lose any limbs, I was scared, you know, during the training, whatever, I hear all the craziest stories, but... the good thing is that we do have other... pathways that they can get involved in and, you know.
Right.
So you're able to use some of your other partners and you can send them over there. Do you do that on, say, recruitment? How do you recruit? Do you
So my recruitment, so we have orientation every week. 8 o'clock is orientation. This is an overview of what our job training program is. These are the individuals who want to just come in and do the job training portion of our program. But then the LA Conservation Corps, we have orientation every week, 7:30 a.m. sharp, and it's just an overview of everything the Conservation Corps and that offers. And that's our youth build program, that's our environmental job training program, everything that we do. So once a person is interested, they fill out the application, they get called back, they have an interview, and if they pass that interview, it goes great, then they move on to the next phase, which is our intake. We do an intake, we find out what the individual is interested in, you know, what their goals are, do they have a high school diploma, do they have a driver's license, you know, find out what are some of their barriers and obstacles, anything that will prevent them from completing the training or, you know, completing, going through their actual programming, which the LA Conservation Corps can keep a youth up to 18 months. And they do get paid hourly for some of the work that we do here. So we do pay our participants a wage, which currently the city of Los Angeles minimum wage has went up. We're at $14.25. By July 2020, we'll be at $15 an hour.
Does that go for the environmental workforce program, too, if you're doing
no,
work?
No, that is
oh,
a
okay.
non-paid. That's
okay.
a non-paid program, but what we've done in the past, we do leverage other funding where we offer the youth, if they were already in the Corps and they really want to take this training, we offer the training to them, and with the leverage funding, we offer stipend, so they can get a stipend. So.
Oh, that's nice. I wondered if you were more of a model like Recycle Force, where they actually hire people, put them on the floor, and then pull them out for training as they're working. So their model's a little different than yours. In your case, they may be a core member already, and they say, I really like this environmental. Then you got to see if they're willing to commit for 7 weeks
yes.
at no pay, but maybe
without
they can
no
get
pay.
A stipend.
But they can get a stipend. They can apply for a stipend, yes.
Denise, what kind of retention rate do you have? You know, about how many people start and then how many finish?
So if I do a class of 15, and this is what I tell the youth all the time, once you sign up, then you're signing on a dotted line that you're going to do all 7 weeks. No ifs,
okay.
ands, and buts about it. So what I used to do, like, for instance, if they got the HazWhopper, that's like our first training after the life skills training. I used to bring in the, you know, the job. I used to bring someone in that look for employer, you know, look for that certification like they need it. It's a demand. You
right.
know, I need like 30 or 40 workers. And so I kind of stopped that because they'll come in and they'll tell them, then it's like, well, I want to work. I got my certification.
So they
leave
they don't
and
get the job, right?
Yeah, they don't complete the rest of the training. And I try to let them know, look, they're just offering this, you know, opportunity right now because it's in the demand for them. But believe me, they're going to come back to the table at the end.
Yeah.
You know, get everything because you're more marketable, you know, to some of the companies like Union Pacific we work with, Clean Harbors. You're more marketable even at the shipyard because I mentioned we do provide the TWIC card for them, which is a federal background check for them to work on federal land so they can work at some of our shipyards and even the airports. So we pay for that for them too.
Oh, that's an excellent service.
So, you know,
One of the problems I have with my programs here in New Mexico is a lot of the jobs require a security clearance. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm pulling from a population that really doesn't have the ability to pass a security clearance, you know.
So some of our youth, like, they have for the TWIC card here, they actually have, if they're a sex offender, we don't bring them on. They can't get hired because we work with younger youth because we also serve ages 14 to 17 here at the Corps.
Okay.
So we don't hire those individuals. And then if they had a murder case or something like that, they can get denied. So there's a list of things. So if we do have a participant that maybe went, you know, was incarcerated because of maybe a murder, attempted murder, whatever, they pay their dues, they change their life, they're back in society, we know that they're probably going to get denied their background check.
Okay.
Or, you know, to work on federal land.
But you have other employers, though, right?
Yeah, but we have other employers that, because even some of the unions will take them.
Oh, okay.
You know, even without, you know, the Corps, we're big about them getting their education, at least their high school diploma. But some youth, they don't, it's like, well, I can work. They said I don't need a high school diploma, but I'm like, yes, you do.
I know that
you either
problem.
Get a GED
yes.
or you get your high school diploma and work towards that, so.
Yeah.
Is it hard to get that federal background check?
Well, for me it is. Out here for the DOE one it is. Mm-hmm.
But there are. I'm thinking of generally some other as almost like a life skill. Is it something that you can go to some organization and say we'd like to give our students a background check? Is that something that's workable?
The background check for DOE is over $25,000. So, and it has to be done by the FBI. But I'm sure Denise's is different, right, Denise?
Yeah, because ours is only $125, and it's the transportation. I hate acronyms, and then I try to remember.
It's the DOT one, right?
Yeah. Okay. But, it's not pricey. I mean, it's $125 per participant. Some have got denied, and then I tell them to appeal it. And sometimes when they appeal it, they actually get their TWIC card. So I'm like, good, you know.
That's
yeah.
a great certification. You know, that's a great certification, even if you're going to work for someone like Clean Harbors or Union Pacific.
And the airport, LAX, you know, we have a lot of work because they're remodeling our airport here. So LAX. They have a lot working with World Airports, so that is one in their, you know, it's great when your participant can walk in there and they already have that because it's like, wow, we don't have to come out the pocket because this
right.
person is coming in with it already. So,
hey, Denise, I had a funny, this is David Jones from the CDC of Tampa, and I hate to change the subject. I wanted to ask about your recycle center, if you can go in a little more detail about how that works. Is it an actual facility where you're recycling products or is it just a station where you keep vehicles or things like that? How does that work?
So it's actually our recycling center where we sort, where we go around to different, I'm going to say other organizations, like the football games here. It can be like some of our major, like our Staples Center, where you think of a bunch of people who, you know, is going to buy from vendors and they're going to have all these recyclables. So it could be from cans, bottle, glass. And so we have crews that go out and they go around and collect that stuff and then they bring it back to our recycling center and kind of like sort it out so it can be sent out to the place where we dispose it. I'm going to say it like that, the place where we dispose it.
So you're in the collection business, kind of, the collection sorting side.
Yeah, we're in the collection and sorting, kind of. And then we have our e-waste, where we actually, people, the community, folks can drop off tires to us. They can drop off the electronics and oil, you know, anything that they can't, they're not supposed to dispose themselves.
Did you have to go through and get an EPA permit for that out there in California, for a solid waste permit?
Well, I know our funding is definitely come from state of California.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure far as how that works, far as like...
Well, the reason why I ask is because the New Mexico Environment Department busted the Girl Scouts for doing that, picking up aluminum cans and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I'm just, you know, California, you guys have, you know, maybe because of your connections and stuff like that, they've made special arrangements since it's a job type thing. I was just curious.
Yeah. No, well, we're funded through the state, so it's...
I'm sure they've made provisions for that.
Right.
And you may not store it. If you're collecting it and you're transmitting it, that's different, say, than Recycle Force, where they're actually doing e-waste, disassembling computers, storing it, and then they're selling the parts, you know, the nickel and the precious metals to people.
And so all that revenue, all the recycling, everything comes back into our agency.
And
so,
for that
you recycle the products itself?
Yeah, so all the products that we
recycle,
everything, we take it to the right where it needs to be disposed, and we actually get funding for it. So it just comes back into our organization.
Okay.
Is that
I'm done being rude. I apologize.
No, okay.
There's no such thing as being rude on these calls. You have to actually interrupt.
I hope I answered your question.
You did. Thank you.
I'll put in the notes if you're interested in recycling, because we have a great grantee, Recycle Force. We had a session on that. Alex was great. And they actually, they're a public-private partnership, and they have Recycle Inc., and they recycle e-waste, anything that has a plug on it. They recycle. They deconstruct. They pull apart. They recycle. They store and transport. And I'll get you that contact information in the notes. And I would suggest you may want to get in touch with him. They have a really great program. And it specifically addresses what you're talking about, where you might actually be doing recycle and storage type of things.
And then, Renee, they've got there's also going to be 3 folk from Recycle Force that are coming to the All Grantee meeting. And then LA Conservation Corps, I think you have 3 folks as well that will be coming.
Yes, we'll be
so there'll be some opportunities to network as well within the December 10th date, too.
Okay.
One question when you're talking about recruiting is, how about two topics? One is transportation, and the other one is drugs, which we've talked about. I expect transportation is less of a problem, or is it more of a problem in terms of getting to class and getting to employers? And then the other issue, which might be more difficult, is what's your drug policy and how do you deal with that?
So, of course, I'm sure everybody knows California is legal for marijuana. So that's like one of our major thing, getting them to understand that just because it's legal here doesn't mean you can still do it and have a job. It just doesn't work hand in hand, you know. A lot of them don't get that concept. Well, they said it's legal, but hello, you can't use power machines. You can't do that. You know, there's certain policies and procedures you have to follow. I don't care what job it is. If you go to McDonald's, you know, you need to be sober-minded. So we do drug test them. And if we feel that if they're under suspicion, we test them again. Mm-hmm. So definitely with the union, if they decide to join the union, and I let them know, okay, we test you guys, and some of y'all were clean, some of you guys wasn't. For those who were clean, when we test you at the end of this training, we hope that, you know, you're staying clean. And for those who wasn't clean, we're giving you opportunity to clean your system, because we're going to test you again before you get employed. So if you really want a job, you really want to work, you really want a career, then you're going to just have to, you know, really think about this. And if you're having a problem, if you need some help, we do have case managers and our core navigators on site ready to help you figure that out. So it's just
I've had to do that too, Denise, because we have medical marijuana is legal here in New Mexico, and I have to tell the people when they, you know, they'll come to the interview, right? And I have to tell them, I can't get you a job in this business because of the nature of the work.
Yep.
And then I tell the people in the class, we don't drug test, but you better start studying for the test because the employers are going to drug test you.
Right. And
good
I mean,
point.
It's sad because the unions, when he wants to do his orientation at the end of the training,
yeah,
he asks how many today if I take you down to go pass a drug test? A few leave, you know, they like, I thought you were going to stay clean. And, you know, and so I let them know, well, can I get back into the Corps? Can I, well, even the Corps, you're supposed to be drug free. We tell you that, you know,
right.
You sign papers saying that you're drug free.
Yeah, but what people say and what they actually do is usually
two different things.
Yeah.
Well, I would think if you're going to either work at the airport or certainly if anything with DOT, they're going to, drivers are going to get tested once a year anyway. So why invest 7 weeks of your life and then only to not be able to be employed? It's a good argument.
Well, Denise, can I ask you, what are you looking for when you're screening your applicants? Do you just take anybody who shows up, or do you have certain things in your interview process that are in your experience that you know that they're just not going to be able to make it through your job training program?
So if they come, if you set an appointment, I mean, if you give them a time, they came to your orientation, you tell them what the next steps is. You say, okay, we're going to call you. We need an email address. We need, you know, a phone number. You know, at least give us two numbers and your email.
Right.
We will contact all three. Sometimes we get a hold of them, sometimes we don't. Once we get a hold and we schedule that interview, if they show up to the interview like 2 minutes late, three, I'm going to say 5 minutes late, then I turn them away because then you're not going to show up on time too.
Right. That's part of the training is it's a job.
So
yeah.
I tell them, apply again. We're going to have a next training scheduled in April. If I did one in January, you're going to have one in April. So I tell them, apply again in April. And it gives them something to think about, you know. Mm-hmm. You need to be on time. And so that's a red flag for me. If they can't make it to the interview, then I know. Then if they do make it to the interview and they were on time, but then during intake, there's other signs because there's things that we ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it seemed like a lot of people don't know how to work with teams. A lot of people, this generation don't know. They don't want to work with others. They want to, you know.
I had one tell me, well, I don't have to work with anyone I don't like. And I'm like,
right.
That's pretty job.
Yeah,
that's
so
pretty
that's
career
a red
limiting.
Flag for me.
Yeah.
That's a red flag for us. And so, okay, this person's not ready. They might need a little. So what I normally do for those individuals, I refer them to join the Corps. Okay, maybe right now you can't get into the job training program, but go here on this day, orientation, apply for the Conservation Corps because then they can work with them a little more and because they go through a more of a, like a three-month orientation, like, you know, where it's going to be a little more in-depth for them to kind of help people like that.
Right.
Versus my training is more advanced. It's for individuals that really want to go to work. People, you know, it's for
right.
people that want to, you know, get it out there, get in, you know, to work. It's a career path. So
I know for
yeah.
me, it, when I'm interviewing people, because I do a phone interview and then I do an in-person interview, I haven't had any success with people who've come out of drug rehab if they've been out, you know, less than 2 or 3 years. And I don't have the social services, you know, to support that. But I've had 3 instances where I've accepted people who, you know, had been out of rehab for less than a year. And they just never make it through. They'll get through 4 or 5 weeks, and then the last week they just blow up. You know, they
I
just...
mean, for a personal experience with that here, working with that population,
yeah,
a lot of times they go back into their communities where they came from, and so
yeah.
they are doing something positive. But what we've seen is once, you know, it's that peer to where, you know, those peers telling you, like, oh, you're different, you changed, I know you went through a program. You know, it's that pressure that they get.
That peer pressure, yeah, it's pretty strong.
Yeah, the peer pressure, and so they drop off, and you lose them.
Yeah, I just stopped, you know, if somebody had been out of rehab less than 3 years, that's a red flag for me now, you know. And I know that's now, not fair.
What do you do as far as transportation? Do they in LA, do they need a car, or do you find that they can get along fine without a car?
Well, I mean, they definitely, I mean, we have buses now. I mean, we've always had buses, but we've been having, like, our Metrolinx. They're building trains and things so that they can get around. But we do offer a job training program here for the participants where they can actually, you know, sit for, like, at least about 6 sessions where their instructor, you know, teaches them,
uh-huh.
go over the driver's book, the driver's ed book, and
oh, yeah.
actually take them to take the driver's test. So we do encourage and we do push the driver's license here because that's what most jobs are looking at
requiring
it. But then we do have some employers that, hey, if they can, you know, get to work with a bus pass, we're okay with that. So we do offer, we offer gas incentives or we offer a bus pass. But I think our transportation, it hasn't been, I'm not going to say it has, it hasn't been a strain on us. It hasn't been, you know,
mm-hmm.
people get here. I'm going to say the youth get here. It hasn't been a problem. Transportation.
Yeah.
More marijuana has been the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable. That's understandable.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think everyone's confronting those problems. Fortunately, LA's got a good transportation network, so that's one less thing you have to worry about. But our less developed communities, you really have to have a driver's license, and you evidently don't require that. So that's one less thing to worry about. So any other questions that people have? It's really a very interesting program you have, and you're able to give them pre-apprenticeship into the union.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a path forward. Once they get that HAZWOPER, there's in a community like Los Angeles, I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities if you have that HAZWOPER.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you've got a host of support services that you're able to lean on because of your other grants that you have. So it's probably understandable why you've been successful in all these years. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for sharing, too.
No, thank you, guys. I hope whatever I said was helpful. But you guys can reach out to me. You can, you know, hit me up and
are you
email
be at the meetings?
Me if you guys got questions. Yes, I'll be at the Brownsville Conference all week. So looking forward to meeting some of you guys.
Every time we have a guest on, we always say something new. We always learn that we've maybe not heard of before. So thank you. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Okay,
well,
thank you guys.
You could send us send Heather questions if you don't get the notes on Friday. Just send Heather your contact information. Heather, do you want to give that contact information again?
Absolutely. It's HKBALLOU at EICC.edu. Again, HKBALLOU at EICC.edu.
And I hate that this is the last one in this cycle, so we're going to take a break till beginning of next year because we've got the holidays coming up and we've got brownfields. But we'll get started on some new topics and get some new ideas going in the beginning of next year. Meanwhile, we'll try to keep in touch over email and over newsletters and things like that. And again, if you have any questions as we go along, just send them off to Heather. So, any other questions anyone might have? Sorry we kept you late, but it was definitely worth the time.
Thank you. Sorry I was late.
So worth it.
Thank you.
See you in Los Angeles. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We'll talk to y'all soon, then. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Denise. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see.